Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Hei. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet on the Beis at the Gemara after the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. The Mishnah had identified a number of individuals who are disqualified from saying Eidus. And the first example that the Mishnah had discussed was Masechta Bekuvya, somebody who gambles. So ask the Gemara, Masechta Bekuvya, somebody who gambles, my covet, what is the reason that he is disqualified? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rami Bacham Shem Dava Smachta. Somebody who gambles is only gambling because he's convinced that he's going to win. If he was not going to win, he would have never have gambled. And that's called a Schat and a Smachta. And the Gemara says, a Smachta Lekanya, that's not considered a valid way of making a Kenyan. And since it's not a valid way of making a Kenyan, a person is therefore getting the money that he's getting illegally. Rav Sheshes
says, Kol Kai Gavna, anyone who enters into this type of a transaction, Lav Asmachta, he is not considered an Asmachta, because he knew what he was getting into. As Rashi explains, he knows that he doesn't have complete control of what is going to happen when he gambles. And therefore, it's not considered a smachta. He knew what he was getting into. And that's why Rashi goes into what we discussed extensively in Masechta Baba Basra. The Gemara Masechta Baba Basra spoke about an asmachta, where somebody undertook, for example, that he's going to finish a project by a certain time, and then he doesn't end up finishing the project in a timely basis. That there, it's called an asmachta. Because when this person undertook that responsibility, and he said, if I don't, I'll pay a penalty or whatever, he was certain that he's going to finish the project when he said he's going to finish the project. And therefore, that's called an asmachta because it was in his control. Here, since it wasn't in his control, that's why it's not considered an asmachta. Tosfos, however, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that even when something is not in your control, then it's considered an asmachta. In fact, Tosfos says that's the difference between a Tanai, which we know throughout Shas is valid, and asmachta is not valid. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam explains that the reason there is no issue of an asmachta according to Rav Sheshes by the Masechta Bekuvya is everybody wants to win. And therefore, since everybody wants to win, everybody who is playing in this game, who's being a Masechta Bekuvya, is really no different than an investor. And of course, as much as we'll speak about different types of situations, no one would suggest that's the way I understand what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, that investing is not permissible. And therefore, this is no different than an investment, and that's why it's not considered a problem. So therefore, says the Gemara, it's not an asmachta. What is the issue? Lav asmachta. The issue is not an asmachta. El fisha en oiskin b'yeshuva shel oilam. They're not, people who gamble are not really spending their time in a productive way. And they also don't have the proper sensitivity, explains the Yad Ramah, for other people's money. A person who works for a living appreciates what earning money is, what having money is, and therefore he has that proper perspective to someone else's money when he's saying testimony. The Rambam says that a person who spends his days gambling doesn't have a healthy lifestyle. And a person who doesn't have a healthy lifestyle is not considered a person that we should accept as Eidus. So says the Gemara Maibinayu. So we've had two explanations in our shir why a Masechta Bekuvya is disqualified. Is it because of the issue of an asmachta, or is it because Eina Oisik B'Yeshuva Shaloylam? Ask the Ramai Benai, what's the difference between these two pshatim? And that is going to be Ikmanayu, the Gomer Mchnos Achriti. He's a gambler, but he has another job. So if the issue is ein oisik b'yishuv v'sholaylam, he is oisik b'yishuv v'sholaylam. But if the issue is a smachta, it makes no difference if he has another job or not. Truthfully, the Rosh Hashanah says, the Gemara could have given a different explanation. The Gemara could have said that the nafkamina is if somebody has to return the money that he got through gambling. If it's going to say that it's an asmachta, and asmachta loy kanya, so then the money he received illegally. And since he received this money illegally, he has to return it. But if we say that the issue is ein oisik b'yishuv v'sholaylam, but it's not considered that he's a gazlan, then he doesn't have to return the money. The Miri goes further to say that the gambler is accustomed to lie and cheat when playing cards, since such conduct is acceptable among gamblers, and therefore we're concerned that he's going to lie when he's in Beis Din as well. So says the Tumim, that if so, a gambler should be disqualified from testifying, even with respect to criminal cases, when there's no financial motivation to lie. This person doesn't have the proper Yiras Shamayim because of his behavior, and he should never be qualified to say Eidus. The Torah explains that a gambler doesn't respect what earning money means, what earning an honest living. So, says the Tumim, if we follow the Torah's opinion, then a gambler will only be disqualified from Dinei Mamnes. If it's not Dinei Mamnes, so there he doesn't have that attitude. Continues the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Amar Rav Yehuda, when Rav Yehuda discussed the Masach B'Kuvya, commented Rav Yehuda, Emesai, when is a Masach B'Kuvya disqualified? B'zan she'en lam elmnus elohu. With this, when they don't have any other profession. If they have different occupations, k'sherim. Alma. So it's clear, says the Gemara, that the explanation of our Mishnah, the way to understand the Mishnah, is Tam Mishum Yishuv Yishalaylam Hu. So ask the Gemara, isn't that a kasha on what Rami Bachami said, that the issue is a smachta? V'chi tema, and if you'll say, the pligalei Rabban Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machlaikus, that indeed Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain that the issue with a masach b'kuvya is because ein oisik b'yishuv Yishalaylam. The Chamim are going to disagree, and they're going to say the issue is a smachta. But ask the Gemara, Vamar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Kol Makom Sham Rabbi Yehuda. Whenever we have Rabbi Yehuda in a Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda prefaces his comment with the word Emesai, or he says B'med V'Mamurim, we aren't to understand that there's a machlokes. Eina El L'Farish the Chachamim. What Rabbi Yehuda is attempting to do is explain what the Chachamim hold. Rabbi Yochanan says Emesai. When the Mishnah uses the words Emesai, it does mean L'Farish. But if he says B'med V'Mamurim, it comes Lachlik to disagree with the Chum. But says the Gemara, the Kula Alma, everyone agrees that when the word Amosai is used, Lefarishu. So how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham arguing the Machlekes of Rav Sheshes and Rami Bechamra? Ask the Gemara, Gavra Karamis, why are you asking this question? Is Rami Bechamra obligated to hold like Rabbi Shubha Levi? Mar Savar, Rabbi Chacham's opinion is pligi, that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, no matter how Rabbi Yehuda prefaces his words, argue, or Masover, whereas Rabbi Yeshua holds loy pligi. Ask the Gemara, how can you say that whenever the word Emesai is used, it means that there's no machloikus, it means just to explain the loy pligi, v'tanya, the Mbiraisa said, regarding the Masach B'Kuvya, whether he does or doesn't have another profession, and if we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are not arguing, and the only issue is if ein oisik b'yishuv v'sholaylam, so then how are we going to understand this braisa? Says the Gemara, that braisa doesn't represent the opinion of the Chachamim of our Mishnah, rather that's a new opinion. That's the opinion of Yehuda Mishum Rav Tarfin. The Tanya, Rav Yehuda Mishum Rav Tarfin, La'olam Enechem Nazir. If two people, the Gemara Masechet Nazir discusses, where two people are sitting, and there's a third person approaching them, and one of the people sitting says that I'm certain is that this person approaching is a Nazir, and the other person says I'm certain that he's not a Nazir, and then the first person says, well, if I'm right, that I will be a Nazir. And then the second person says, well, if I'm right, I'll be a Nazir. So it says the Braiser, neither of them will be a Nazir. When one accepts upon himself to be a Nazir, it has to be with full clarity. And here, when both of them said that they're going to be a Nazir, no, neither of them could say it with absolute clarity, and that's why they're a Nazir. And therefore, he says the same thing with Mesachet B'Kuvya. Mesachet B'Kuvya, according to Yehuda in the name of Tarfin, that's going to be, you can't be certain that you're going to win, and since you cannot be certain you're going to win, you're considered a smacht and a smacht lekanya. So many Rishonim asked the question. The Torah, as we just said, uses the word ishkiyafli when it speaks about Naziris. So since the Torah uses that word by Naziris, so by Naziris there's a special halacha that clarity is required, and an asmachta certainly doesn't have that clarity. How will we learn that just because it's not a way to become a Nazir, it has any bearing on any area, other area of halacha? Because so Tosfos says that since we know an asmachta lekanya, this could serve as a good source. Another Teretz Tosfos gives is that the Torah says the word haflah, but the Torah doesn't clearly indicate what haflah means. And since the Torah does not indicate what haflah means, therefore the halacha is we could say that haflah doesn't have a different definition than a smachta. So now that we learned about somebody gambling and somebody playing cards, and especially if you hold a smachta, so now the question is, how could somebody ever participate in a lottery or in a Chinese auction? Why would that not be considered an asmacht and asmacht alaykanya? So the Ramah in Choshe Mishpat, Simon Shin Gimel, Sif Gimel discusses this. And he says, the minig is that people play sachle to play vain pasal el mish emnus elahu. The remark clearly indicates that the issue with gambling is only in a situation, as we've learned, ein ois b'yishuv shel olam. But if somebody has another profession, then the halacha, says the remark, is that he's not considered a mesach b'kuvya. There are paiskim that say that the Ramah doesn't mean to say that it's permissible. What the Ramah means to say is that we're not going to make him apostle for Edis, we're not going to make him apostle for being a Dayan, but not that he condones it. So that if that's the case, why can somebody participate in any of these type of lotteries? So the Paiskim suggest that how did we begin the shir? The way we began the shir is that somebody who gambles is only gambling. Why is it an asmachta? Because he's convinced he's going to win. And if he would have known he's not going to win, he would have never have gambled. So the Paiskim suggest when somebody participates in a lottery, he knows for certain that he's not certainly going to win. He didn't buy the lottery ticket, or he didn't participate in a Chinese auction knowing that he's going to win. He knows, actually, that probably the chances are he's not going to win. The only time it's a concern of a smachta is when the person really believes he's going to win, and if he wouldn't have believed that, he wouldn't have gambled. But if that's not the case, then it's certainly not considered an smachta. Moreover, the Paiskim suggest that when it's a case where there's a din of the malchus, so we know that the lotteries that are played in the various cities and states are under government auspices. So there's a din of the malchus that makes it into a valid kinyan. Since there's a din of the malchus that makes it into a valid kinyan, that's why it's not a problem. And certainly, many paiskim that are done on behalf suggest that when it's done on behalf of tzedakah, Rabbi Yaakov Bloizetzal in the Shilas in the Pesachei Choshen, Lahavdu b'chaim l'chaim, Rav Moshe Sternberg in the Shilas Tshuvas from Hoggis, say what these types of lotteries, Chinese auctions that are done on behalf of tzedakah, is just another way of a person giving tzedakah. This person who we're discussing really wants to give tzedakah. This became a way how these various institutions are able to raise funds for tzedakah. And therefore, in such a case, he's not doing it as a gambling event, which opens up the question, is it an asmachta? Is it permissible? Is it not permissible? Rather, it's a way to get people to donate and just makes it more interesting and more attractive. And that's how people are going to donate to different causes. If that's the way we look at it, then it certainly doesn't represent a situation of an asmachta, and it wouldn't be an issue. We learned further in the Mishnah that hamalva beribis, if somebody lends money on interest, he's posel for edus. Amarava lava beribis, if somebody lent money on ribis, the halacha is posel edus. Ask the Gemara, lava means somebody borrowed. Ask the Gemara, v'anantanan, have we not learned in the Mishnah malva beribis? So from our Mishnah, ask the Gemara, isn't it indicative that the person is the malva, the person who lends on ribis, not the person who borrowed the money? Answers the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah to be understood is malva haboba ribis. Anybody who was involved in a loan that had ribis in it, that is an individual that's possible for ribis. The Rishonim speak about a number of points here. When we learned Masech Baba Metzia, we learned that there's ribis d'araisa and the ribis d'rabbanan. So some Rishonim say that that's very relevant to what we're learning here as well. In a case where somebody is involved with ribis d'araisa, he becomes possible with d'araisa. If somebody is involved in ribis d'rabbanan, then he's only possible with d'rabbanan. And there are nafkaminas, obviously, if somebody's possible with d'araisa or possible with d'rabbanan. However, there are other rishonim that suggest that even if the ribis is the ribis d'rabbanan, the psul, the disqualification, will be, a person will be, even though he did ribis d'rabbanan, he'll be possible with d'araisa. The other question that the rishonim discuss is, as when we learned Perek Ezul Neshech, we learned that not only are the lender and the borrower involved in an aveira when they do a loan with ribis, but the ariv, the guarantor, and the edim, the people who signed to the shtar, are all involved in that aveira. So the question is, will the people also be possible for edis if you were aid, or you were a guarantor, or you were the cipher? So the question is, the Rishonim debate, will they also be included in the disqualification that our Gemara is saying anybody does a loan on ribis? Says the Gemara, Bar Benitus, Asad Beitrei Saadi, there were two people that said testimony regarding him. Charamar Kamididi Oizabarisi, in front of me, he borrowed money, ribis. The Charamar once said, he lent money to me with ribis. Pasla Ravel Abarpensis, he disqualified him. Asked the Gemara, how could the aid say, who was said testimony, be accepted that he said that this person lent money with ribis to me? Rava just said that anybody who borrows money on ribis, lava beribis, pasalatis. So it turns out that the person who borrowed money with ribis is a Rasha. And the Torah says that a person who is a Rasha, Atashas Rasha 8, he can't be a testimony. Answers the Gemara, Rava L'Tamei, Dama Rava Adam Karva Etzlatzmai, we learned the sugya previously. This is the sugya that we learned of Palgir and Dabura. And we accept what he says, Ein Adam Meisim Atzim Rasha. We don't believe him when he speaks about himself, making himself into Rasha. But we do believe him regarding what he said on the lender, that he lent money in Ribis, and therefore this is a case of Palgir and Dabura, and we therefore accept it for this part and not for that part. There are others. The Stipler wants to suggest that the way to learn the Gemara is that the testimony about the other person has no bearing on him. When a person says testimony, it's considered he's a negeya be'edus. But this, the Stipler wants to say, will not necessarily be considered a situation of negeya be'edus, that he's impersonally involved. And since it's not considered a situation of negeya be'edus, that's why it won't be considered, that's why he could be believed when he says this. Says the Gemara, who tapcha? There was a butcher. The shkacha at the nafik trefsa betusa yodei. He was selling non-kosher meat. Pasla Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman disqualified him from saying Eidus. V'abre, and he removed him from his position. Ozel Rabbi Mazi v'tufrei. He grew his hair long, and he grew his hair and nails long. He's doing tshuva. So Rav Nachman l'chshurei. So Rav Nachman says, okay, we could bring him back. Amalei Rava. So Rava was concerned. Dilma Arumi Kamara, maybe this is just a show, and he's not really doing tshuva. So ask the Gemara El Maita Kante. So how do we know that he did tshuva? Says the Gemara, Kedrav Idi Barovin, Damar Rav Idi Barovin, Hachoshad al Treifus. If somebody is accused that he's selling treifus or he's a shaykhit and he's not doing his job properly, Eilat Tekana, there is no way to know that he did tshuva. El Asher L'chumakon Shem Achzir Naisai, he should go to the place where people don't know him. And we should see that he has overcome his desire for money. In other words, why does a person do what we just learned about? Because he's so anxious to make money, and he'll sell something not kosher as kosher. But if we see that he's ready to give away money, he found something, and he could have kept it for himself, and he gave it away, then we see that he did tshuva. Oy, another way of seeing that he did tshuva is shiyotzi. He gives away something. There was non-kosher meat in his possession or something valuable, and it was not kosher, and he threw it away. Then we see that he obviously did tshuva. I saw that the Rishonim point out that we're going to be learning in our shiur today different ways of proving that he did tshuva. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that when we're speaking about a butcher, a shaychit, the standard is a much more difficult standard than somebody else. Because if this person was involved in being machshalos harabim, if he was involved in causing people who want to eat kosher meat, eat something which is not kosher, it's a whole different conversation, and that's why we have to be much more machmer with such an individual more than we would be machmer with anyone else, more than we would be machmer with anyone else who maybe did an avera and now we see wants to do tshuva. Which opens up, I saw in the Chashukei Chemet, some interesting questions. He discusses a situation where somebody was walking by a store and he saw that this store was receiving a shipment of non-kosher meat. That means people who bought and are buying from that store, there's a real concern that maybe they were eating something that's not kosher. And there's a point, maybe they should be immediately notified. On the other hand, there's a real concern that it's not just this store that is purchasing the non-kosher meat and selling it as kosher. There are other stores that are doing the same. So the concern here is that by notifying the people immediately of what he saw, the people who are perpetrating this terrible crime will be caught and will stop, and we'll never know if there's another store that was also doing this, and that therefore that other store, we should also prevent them. We should wait and see if there are any other stores. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita says that he asked this question to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, and he said that if you see somebody that maybe is going to do an Aveira, and you have an opportunity to stop him, then you have the obligation to stop him immediately. And the fact that what that will cause perhaps is that other people will now continue doing an Aveira and that they'll never know. There might have been other stores that bought and will never know which are the other stores. And the people who bought in those stores may continue eating that meat that they bought in those stores and they'll never know that they have to kosherize their pots and pans. Rabbi Yoshua says, if you see something, you have to say something. And then Rabbi Shlubstein Shlita discusses another very interesting question. He says, there were two people who were making a simcha. There was a father of a chassan who was making a simcha, and he was making it the oifrif in a catering hall. And the father of the kallah has certain chumras, and he wants only certain meat with certain hechsherim to be used. And the father of the chassan said, okay, that's what I'll order. And then it was obviously more expensive, and he didn't order it. And now the question that Rav Zelberstein says, is the father of the kallah now comes to the catering hall on Friday afternoon, whatever, and he asks the mashgiach, is the meat that I wanted to be ordered the meat that's going to be used? And the mashgiach knows exactly what happened, that this is what he wanted. He knows that the father of the chassan did not keep his deal. And now there's a tremendous question that needs to be answered. Should the mashgiach tell this father of the kala what really happened? And we could all understand what the repercussions of saying this is. Or is it better that it should be quiet? He says, so Zilberstein says, that if the meat that was ordered, that was received, is kosher meat, even though it's not the meat that the kala's father was expecting, he says, at first glance, because of the repercussions of telling him, then we don't have to tell him. And he brings a number of rayas. He says that there's a concept, even in kashrus, of Ava. And the concept of Ava is that even if I don't eat a certain food, sometimes I'm allowed to eat that food if it's going to be at the cost of making this acrimony between people. Dermah Paskins and Simon Kuf Yud Bey Sif Tuzvev. Yesh Oimrim. The me. Somebody who's careful not to eat pas palter. And eating together with people who aren't careful. He may eat together with them. If they're all sitting at the table and they're all eating the bread and he won't eat, Hoyl, says the Rama, he won't eat any bread, which bread is considered the staple food of a meal. Hitirloi mishrim eva. So on one hand, we see that there's a mutter, there's a heter of eva. The shals of chuvus retvaz, chelik dalid, simon reis tzadik vav. The sources that there's a concept in shchita of shchut echutz, that people who live in a certain community should only eat meat that comes from that community shaychet. And the question is, if somebody lives in this community and he's doing the wrong thing and he's buying meat that's not that shchut echutz, and now he invites you to eat in his home, may you eat in that person's home? And the halacha, he says, is that you could eat in that person's home, again, because of Eva. And He quotes Ashas Tshuvas Zecha L'Avram. Again, speaks about a person that came to somebody else's home and he doesn't know exactly if that person's standard of kashrus. And the question is, could you eat there? And he says that you could eat there and you could rely that it's kosher. And again, he quotes Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner said that people have certain standards in kashrus, but where they're on the road, or they're staying by other people's houses, or there's no other food available, they can maybe relax those standards, of course, all within the realm that the food is 100% kosher. And therefore, he suggests in this case as well, because the Mashgiach, divulging to the Kala's father what happened here, the ramifications, as we're discussing, are so very, very significant. Therefore, he says, the Mashgiach should just not say anything. We learned in the Mishnah, the next case of an individual who's disqualified to say Eidus, the Mishnah said, a mafriche yoinim. Ask the Gemara, my mafriche yoinim, exactly what is considered an individual who's mafriche yoinim? Says the Gemara, Tergema, hacha Tergema, and Bavel, they explained it as somebody that does races with birds. If your bird will get to the destination first. If somebody trains his bird to get the other birds, and somebody trains his bird to get other birds to come to his nest. Says the Gemara, according to the opinion that says that it's bird racing, ask the Gemara, my tamalayama ora. Why did he say the other explanation? Amalach ora. When we speak about the isra of ora, that's only mitnei daka shalom ba'alma. Technically, somebody who tries to get them to get to my nest, it's not really geneva because you can't control your birds. It's also because of daka shalom. Amanda Amara Ora, and the explanation, the one that said it's considered Ora, my Tamaloyma, why didn't he explain it as the race? Iktam the Yoinach Loyoim, Amalach, because that's already Mesach Bekuvya. Mesach Bekuvya was already mentioned in our Mishnah. Vidach, and the other Mandom that says it is talking about bird racing. Why is that not considered a repetition of the case of Mesach Bekuvya? Says the Gemara, because these are two different types of situations. Tana Tayla B'das Atzmai. Mesach B'Kuvya is a case where I am gambling, I am controlling. And Tana Tayla B'das Yoinoi, that's a case where it's not my control, it's the bird that's flying. And the Gemara says with Tzricha, why do we have to have both types of gambling mentioned? De Tana Tayla B'das Atzmai, when somebody gambles, Hasam Hudalai Gomer Makne. He never really gave up his money. Domer, he says, a person could convince himself, Kimli b'nafshoy d'yadanet fei. I am a better gambler, and therefore, I was certainly going to win. And when he lost, it's not considered that he gave up the money voluntarily. Avo b'tayl b'das yoynei. So he knows that he doesn't have control over his bird. Emeloi. Maybe that's not considered Mesach B'Kuvya. He knows that he may lose, and therefore he's giving up the money willingly. What was the way that you got the birds to fly faster? There was a way of banging on the table or whatever, and that caused your birds to fly. So that does involve some level of skill. Because he says, I know you're down on the Kushe Tfei. I have the skill of doing it better. Avol toil b'das atzmai. Gambling doesn't involve skill. Since gambling doesn't involve skill, the person knows emeloi. He knows he's going to lose. So therefore, tzricha was mentioned. Both cases were mentioned. Of course, the mefarshim point out that this explanation of the Gemara is only consistent if we consider the problem of a Mesach B'Kuvya is Mishum HaSmachta. But we know that we learned earlier in our shir that the real issue of Masach Bekuvya is Eina Oisik B'Yeshuva Shalolam. So then, if that's the case, why is our Gemara not focused on the real reason? So the Ran explains that there's a level of Eina Oisik B'Yeshuva Shalolam even in these type of gambling as well. Meisvei asked the Gemara that Meisvei, it says in the Brayse, Masach Bekuvya, Elu Hain, what is that? Hamsachkim bispaspasin, they play with broken pieces of wood. Veloy bispaspasin bilvad, not just with broken pieces of wood. Elafilu beklipa agoizim beklipa remoinim, the peels of different walnuts and pomegranates. Veimachaz rason, mashiyashbiru pispaseim. As soon as they break the cards, v'yachsman chazora gemura, and they do full-fledged tshuva, the filu bechinam, they won't play even when there's no money involved. Fil b'chinam loy avdi. So the Paisk say, just because somebody rips up his card doesn't mean that he did tshuva. It has to be in a way that we could be confident that he's not going to play cards, that it's not just a show. Malva Baribis, who is considered a Malva Baribis, says the Gemara, both the borrower and the lender. When is it considered that they did tshuva? When they rip up the documents, and they do full-fledged tshuva, they won't even lend money to a nachri on interest. And I saw that Reb Tzadik explains this Gemara. He explains that actually the Torah Kedosha says that you should lend money to a nachri with ribis. So if that's the case, where the Torah Kedosha says that we should lend money to a nachri with ribis, so how do we understand this Gemara that says that the way you do tshuva is by not lending money with ribis anymore, even to a nachri? So Reb Tzadik explains that even though the Torah says that we may and we should lend money to a nachri with ribis, but that nothing is more important than doing tshuva. And the way to do tshuva on ribis, we're learning now in the Gemara, is by never lending money on ribis again. And since it means never lending money on ribis again, with ribis again, you have to be so careful, even to a nachri, you may not lend money with ribis, even if the Torah says normally you should. Mafricha yoyna, what is the definition of mafricha yoyna? Ela shemamrim as a yoyna, those that train the birds to fight with each other. Not only is this by birds, any animal, and then they bet on those fights. When is the tshuva? You break up the tools that they use to cause these fights. The field of midbar, even a place where the birds don't belong to anybody, nami le'avdi, you will no longer do it. Sechreshvius, what is sechreshvius? Elu shenoisim noisim perishvius. These are people who do business with perishvius. Veimus chazarosim, when is it considered that you did tshuva? Says the Gemara, shadigiyah shvius acheres, when the next shvita comes, v'yibodlu, and they'll follow Hilcha Shvius properly. Says the Mavaram Nechemya, Loi Chazoros Tvar Omru. It's not enough that you're going to say that I'm going to do tshuva. El Chazoros Momen. You have to return the money from anybody who you collected improperly. Ketzad, what must you do? Ani Pliny by Pliny. You make an announcement that I, this individual, Kinasti Messiah Zuzba Perishvius, that I collected all these fruits in Shvius, and now what he's doing is Varein the Sun of Matana Lavyanim, he's going to do it to Bavera. Says the Tzois, that what's going to be the halacha if somebody was a person who did business with Shvius, and then he realized that he did the wrong thing. As our Gemara is discussing, he does tshuva, but he saw something before he did the tshuva. So the question is, Now he's saying the testimony, he's a Baal Tshuva. But when he saw what he saw, it was prior to him becoming Baal Tshuva. So says the Tzais, as long as now he's a Baal Tshuva, the fact that the event that he's testifying to happened before doesn't make a difference, and he can be accepted as an aid. But now, says the Gemara, Ketanimis, we learned that what is the definition when the Braisa spoke about Fricha Yoina? Behema, that's also by an animal. So says the Gemara, Bishlal Mandamar, according to the opinion that says that the definition of Mafricha Yoina is Im Tagdi Yoina Chloyoin, that they have races. So then we could understand how it's not limited to birds. Hainan the Mishkachsla Behema, how it happens by an animal as well, that they could have these type of races. El Mandamar, that the definition of Mafricha Yoina is Oro, that they train the birds to fly to my nest. Ask the Gemara, Behema Bas Hachihi, is an animal able to do so? Answers the Gemara, in. What we're speaking about is Bishar Habar, a wild animal, and there's a possibility to have, that you could try to get that animal to go to somebody else's house. And this is following, says the Gemara, according to the Man D'Amar, Commander Mishar Bar Behemin Behemihi. There's a question, Vishar Abar is an animal or a chaya. That's not Shar Bar Min Behemihi, Reb Yosem Min Chayahi, the Nafkamina will be the Chaylev of a chaya is only Osam Midrabaran, the Chaylev of Behem is Osam Midraisa, and Kisu Yadam only applies by a chaya, not by Behema. So the Braisa that's saying that we do it by that Mafricha Yoina is Behema is following the opinion that this wild animal and I'm trying to attract that you have and I'm trying to attract it to me, that's called Ara. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Hasifra Leim, they added to the list of people who are disqualified to say Edus HaGazlonim V'Chasonim. Gazlonim is somebody who's a thief and Chamsonim is somebody who forces somebody to sell something to him against his will. Ask the Gemara, Gazlan deraisa, somebody who's a Gazlan is possum deraisa, what is the Braisa coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Lai Nitzcha, Ella Metzias Chereshoit of a cotton. Somebody who stole something from a Chereshoit of a cotton, who don't really have the halachic ability to own anything. If you steal from him, that is included in the list of Gazlonim. Says the Gemara, Mikarasava, originally somebody who stole from such an individual, was not disqualified because they were of the opinion that Mitzirus Chereshoit V'Katan, that a Chereshoit V'Katan should find something and you take it from him as Loi Shchicha, and therefore there's no point to make a Gzera. Inami Menei Dagisham Ba'alma, they're not really considered the owner of this item, so if you take it away, it's not considered Gzela. However, Kivan the Chazusoifsoifmanodukashakli, the taking away other people's money, and that once you start being not careful with taking people's money, you start taking everybody's money. So that's why Pesulin Rabbanan and Rabbanan said such an individual is possible to be an aid. Hacham Sonim, what was the genesis of a Chamson becoming possible? That first he wasn't and then he is. Says Mamikar Sava, the Maker Yav, he's paying for what he's taking. And since he's paying for what he's taking, it's not considered Gzela. Kivin the Chazad Kachatri, then they saw it wasn't that they just were paying a person that really wasn't interested in selling. They were forcibly taking it away. Once they saw that they were forcibly taking it away, so that's when Gazba Rabbanan, that the Rabbanim made Gzera. The question that the Rishonim ask, even if we'll make an argument that this isn't considered Gzela, but why is this not considered Loisachmed? Taking something from somebody else that he doesn't want to sell, isn't that considered Loisachmed? So the Rishonim say that the Gemara assumes that if you pay, then there's no Loisachmed. Tana Oida Sifilem Haroim, people who are shepherds, hagaboyim, people who are appointed to be tax collectors, v'muchsin, and people who become toll collectors. Says the Gemara, Raim, so the Gemara goes through each one of this. Raim, Mikarasov, Akroi Ba'alma, that the what's the issue with the Raim, with the shepherds, that they let the animals wander into other people's field. And they thought that that should be disqualified for that reason, because they thought Akroi Ba'alma, it's not something they do on a regular basis. However, Kiv and the Chazal, once they saw the Kamachavna Vishavdal Chatchila, that they deliberately allow the animals to go into other people's field, goes by Rabbanan. Hagabayim v'amuchsin, what was the history? Mikarasov demai the cuts like a shekeli. Taking taxes is not wrong. The government is entitled to take taxes. Kivin the chazu the kashakli seira, that they were taking more than they deserved, that's when they peslina. Amarava, roya shamra, when we speak about a roya being disqualified, Echaroi behemadakav, echaroi behemagasa. It doesn't make a difference what type of animal you are a shepherd for. Ask the Gemara, or me, I'm a Rava Hachi, I'm a Rava, roi behemadakav etzisrol. And etzisrol, an animal, somebody who's a shepherd of a small animal, sheep, lambs, pasulin. But chutzlar, it's ksherin. Roi behemagasa, feel by etzisrol, kshurim. So we see that a roi behemagasa is not pasul. And says the Gemara, Hahu, the case that Rava said it's kosher is begadlin, somebody who raises these animals in his own field. But if you take it out, then it's apostle. Hachnamim stabed tani nemen alai. We learned in the Mishnah Daf Chaf Dalid that if somebody says to the other party in the Dintaira, nemen alai shlosh roi bakar. We had a machlokes, Ramei and Chachamim, if you could back out of that agreement. My love, aren't we speaking about you accepted them as Edom? So we see that Roy Behemagasa are psulim, because otherwise, what does it represent that I said I could use them? It says, Maloy, the Bryce over there is speaking about where they're not being used for Edom, they're being used for Dayonim. And the question is, are they qualified to be Dayanim? It says the Maradekanam Diktani Shloish Roy Bakar. The Mishnah spoke about three. Vila Edis, if that Mishnah is speaking about Edis, Shloisha Lamali, why do we need three? We don't need three Dayanim. Elamai, it must be, we're discussing if they can be used for Dayanim. So ask the Gemara, my area Shloish Roy Bakar, why are we speaking about Roy Bakar? That halacha that we're learning about, if you accepted them, even though they're not qualified, can you back out or not? So it should be any kobei tlasi delay gemiri dinami, any three people who are not talmid chamim, that should be the subject of that Mishnah. Hachi kama, says the Gemara, what the Brice is trying to teach is afila hani, even roya bakar, delay shchicha b'yishav, who are really individuals who are ought to be considered as individuals who are unlearned, because not only are they not Talmid Chachamim, they are individuals who don't live together with the rest of us. They don't live in the city with other people who are Talmid Chachamim and who know how to learn, and they could observe them and learn from them. They're out in the field with the animals. So they are really an example of individuals who are very unlearned, and that's the subject, and that's the machlokes. If you accepted them to be a dintaira, can you back out or not?